الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Last week we left off talking about one of the things that is so deleterious to faith. It is as if one let loose a ravenous wolf upon their iman. And though we briefly touched upon how sins can be extremely dangerous, we were particularly focusing on the deleterious nature of doubt and how it can wreak havoc on a person's iman, how it can literally deconstruct a person's iman and yaqeen. And we said that doubt is of two types. Right? One of them that we talked about was a doubt that stems from shaitan. And we also talked about how to deal with those type of doubts and how those doubts in one way are not as dangerous as the second type. The second type of doubt is what we'll talk about today, and that is a doubt that stems from the nafs. This is a very dangerous type of shak. It's a very dangerous type of raib because it's persistent. You see, shaitan, when he brings some type of doubt, he'll try from one direction. If it doesn't work, then he'll try from a different direction. Then he tries some different type of ploy. But the doubt that lingers, that plagues a person, that doesn't allow them to sleep at night, this is something that sometimes emanates from the nafs. And this sometimes becomes so persistent and it becomes so pervasive in a person's life that it makes them begin to doubt, you know, is the deen real or is it really just the opium of the masses? It makes them think, is it worth for me to make all these sacrifices and give up, quote unquote, all these fun things that everyone is doing? And why do I have to live such an austere life? And why do I have to live a life of so much zuhd? And so it stops them from amal. That's the first thing. And then, at its worst, it actually removes a person from the fold of Islam. And we see it. We see it happen to individuals. I mean, I've sat with people who have been in situations of leadership amongst the Muslim Ummah, and subhanAllah, that those same very people, the poison was dropped in their heart, and then the shak came, and then allowed that weed to grow, those people left the deen, or became, you know, at the very edge, agnostic, or, I mean, there's no such thing as, you know, you can't be half in the deen and half out of it, either it's a binary. There's no such thing as, you know, the people talk about, you know, I'm a Muslim, or I'm not an atheist, but I'm agnostic. There's no such thing as being agnostic and saying that, oh, I'm not really left Islam, I'm just agnostic, I'm trying to decide. Either you're in or you're out. Whether it's agnosticism, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, all of them is ghayrullah, all of them is ghayrul Islam. And whoever, وَمَنْ يَبْلَغِ دِينًا غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ, whoever seeks a deen other than Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ, it'll never be accepted from. It's only Islam, that's it. It's black and white. In this sense, it's black and white. Either a person is in the deen or you're out of the deen. There's no, the person cannot be deluded to, you know, think that they're in this realm of, well, you know, I don't know if God exists, but I need some time to figure it out. Well, then say, Amantu Billah, and figure it out. It's to say, I believe in Allah, hold that as your belief, and then if you have to, just quote unquote sort through these things, sort it out. But a person doesn't let go of their iman when they're in that state, because that takes a person outside the fold of iman. A lot of times people are plagued with this nafsi type of shak and raib, because they peruse oftentimes the halls of these universities. They're inundated by academia. They hear these poisonous statements from the likes of Dawkins and the like, and his type. And people start to allow those things to grow. So how, and they, and people, you know, the scary thing is that oftentimes this is done under the farce or under the cover or veil that I'm seeking the truth. Right? I'm trying to be sincere. I need to really find out what the truth is. It makes very little sense for a person who's already been given the truth to seek something else. It is as Musa alayhi salam said to his people, "Anzalna alayhim al-man." For them, there was man and salwa coming down to them from the skies. They didn't have to go anywhere. But when they saw what everyone else had, right? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So people think that I need to be sincere. And it is really as Musa alayhi salam said to the Bani Israel when they said that we want, قَالْ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ. That are you going to exchange something that is low, because they wanted to eat مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَكِثَائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا. They wanted to eat, you know, what everyone else was eating, when they were getting something from divinely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet they sought for that which was lower. And so Musa alayhi salam said, قَالْ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ. Are you going to go after something which is low, right, when you already have something lofty? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already shown a person the haq, there's no need to seek for it something else outside. The similitude is that of a person who's already married, they already have a spouse, and they say, oh, well, I need to find a spouse. No, you don't need to find a spouse. You're already married. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already made you ghani in that aspect. Then you don't need to find something else beyond that, because that realm has been satisfied. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already satisfied us with the haq, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already satisfied us with the deen of Islam, there's no need to look beyond that. But this is one of the games that is played internally, sometimes within individual, when they say that, I feel like I need to seek the truth, I need to be sincere, so on and so forth. And so under this farce of intellectualism, under this farce of seeking the truth, under the farce of logicality, people start drawing farther and farther and farther from the deen. And as they draw farther from the deen, these doubts take deeper and deeper root. Deeper and deeper root. The weed begins to grow. Because the more a person divorces themselves from the sun, the more the person divorces themselves from those things which would enrich the foliage that needs to grow, the more it gives room for these type of weeds to take place. And that's exactly what happens. The reality is, and this is something that many people don't understand, if you really dig deep, this has nothing about seeking the truth. It has nothing to do with logicality. Because what happens is, I've sat with these type of people, and you hammer them and hammer them. Sometimes it takes five hours, right? And you get them to the point where the truth is wadih, right? Awdah min ash-shams. It's clearer than the sun that this is the truth. They have nothing to say, but then they said that, oh, I just need time. I'm not ready to accept yet. Why? If the truth was really what a person was seeking, and it became clear upon, you know, in front of them, then why is it so hard to accept? Because this type of shak has nothing to do about seeking the truth, and it has nothing to do with something illogical. Actually, it's the antithesis of logicality, because at the very root of this type of shak that arises within the nafs, it is an irrational impulse that arises within the nafs. Right? Sometimes the nafs just doesn't make sense. Right? Sometimes, you know, a child, when you have a child, sometimes they'll go into a zone and they'll throw a tantrum. Like, why are you throwing a tantrum? Nothing's happened. No one said anything to you. It just doesn't make sense. The nafs is sometimes the same way. It throws a tantrum. It goes in like shak mode. Why? I don't know. But in the same way that you don't have to understand why the child is throwing a tantrum, they're just throwing a tantrum, you have to deal with it. In the same time, if a nafs throws a shak tantrum, you have to just deal with it. Right? And you have to deal with it in a very firm manner, in very decisive manner, because there are ramifications if a person doesn't. So one way, reason that the nafs, but there is some type of insight about where this emanates from. So one place where this emanates from in the nafs is this, what we call ta'annud. The nafs is stubborn, right? The nafs is stubborn. And that's why it has sort of this coefficient of friction, which is very high sometimes. And when it gets into this state of being sort of just doubting everything, then nothing is saved. not a person's deen, not Allah, not so many other things. And I know how this is because, you know, I mean, I can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a million times. That would be less to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He took me out of the state of how much doubt I used to be in my academic years or in my, you know, university years. So much so. And that's why this is, I mean, I can relate with many of the thought processes that go behind this. I remember sitting with this postmodernist professor and he literally said one sentence and that threw me into a spiral. I was still doing Alam course, I was doing so many things, but threw me a spiral of doubt for almost 2 years. 2 years to dig myself out of it. And, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally took me out of it, then sometimes I remember still another random shock came into my mind about does God exist, and I started going back into the whole thing again until finally, you know, it became very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just showed me in a dream that one of my asatiza, he came to him and he's like, he gave me three advices, and one of the advices is that this is enough is enough. You know, that you're sitting here, you know, making shak with Allah. And that was like the end, right? You just closed that door permanently. So one place that this comes from is that it comes from this ta'annud. The other place that this comes from is from a type of kibr. This is very complicated psychologically about how kibr can create shak. Right, and that would be an entire different talk, and we don't have time to go into it. But suffice it to say is that it has to do with a certain amount of reliance a person places on their own intellect, upon their own ability to arrive at a conclusion, rather than just submitting to Islam. Islam means just putting yourself down and putting yourself as a doormat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, from my head to my toe, I lay myself before you. And trying to figure everything out and always having to understand why things are the way they are, that's sort of the opposite of that. Right? A true slave never asks questions. Right? The person who has some i'timad on themselves, some i'timad on, like for example, if there's a person who is a second grader and you present him differential, you know, equations, he has no idea and he has no i'timad on himself. He says, I don't need to understand that. Just as long as my iPad is working, I'm happy, and let me just play on it. He doesn't need to understand everything that's going on behind. Just let it work. The deen, we already know, works, right? It works in our life every day. But when people try to get behind it, then they're trying to act like a PhD when the reality is, I mean, we have too much i'tibad on ourselves, right? That's one aspect of how this works. But regardless, the Quran actually talks about this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَاهُمْ Allahu Akbar. That those people who يُجَادِلُونَ, right, that they are making مُجَادِلَ, making an argument. A lot of things that occur in the realm of philosophy, they're all posited on different arguments. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ You're making your مُجَادِلَ, you're advancing your arguments, quote-unquote, في آيات الله, in the ayat of Allah, بغير سلطان أطاهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give you any permission. Where are you coming from, boy? Right? Where are you coming from, child? What sultan do you have? That tum Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ke saamne aate ho. Right? You come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to purport that you have something to say. That you want to advance some type of argument that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on this argument, you don't exist. بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَطَاهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, did I give you some type of permission to act like that? بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَطَاهُمْ إِن فِي صُدُورِهِمْ إِلَّا كِبْرٌ مَا هُمْ بِبَالِغِ It is not inside their chest, إِلَّا كِبْرٌ Right? There's a kibr. There is a type of arrogance within themselves, مَا هُمْ بِبَالِغِ It is that lofty, they hold themselves in that type of position, they can't even reach it themselves. مَا هُمْ بِبَالِغِ So we understand from the Qur'an that one of the ways that these type of things arise is from kibar. And it becomes a ha'il between a person and hidayah. Right? It becomes a ha'il, okay, alhamdulillah, it's working better. It becomes a ha'il between a person and the hidayah. Why? Because look, we talked about last week, right? About the qawmi salih. قَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَ مَرْجُوًا
So that you are hoped among us, right? That what is the thing that was preventing them from accepting that message? وَإِنَّنَا لَفِي شَكْ. We have some type of shak. And what you're calling us, إِلَيْهِ مُرِيب. Right? We have raib. We have some doubt in our things. This is the thing that literally became the obstacle for them to enter into the deen. So a person has to be careful. A person has to have humility. أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. SubhanAllah, look at the Qur'an. أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, right? Ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mein shak karte ho. Afi Allahi shak. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there's some type of shak. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, there's, if a person gets into media, you have to learn how to handle an audience. Especially when you're doing press conferences. And you know, if you're on the radio, for example, you have to be very careful. When you're doing a phone interview with a newspaper, you have to be very careful because what you say, and we have, in our family, we've had this done before. You know, what you say can get shaped and spun in a very different way when it actually gets put onto press. So sometimes you don't necessarily have to give an answer. And you see people who are very savvy in this regard. What do they say? That I won't answer that, right? I will not dignify that question with comment, right? That's beneath comment. That's what they'll say, right? Right. That question is beneath comment. When أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكْ. Ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mein shak hai. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even talk about it. He said, فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He's the one who has created the entire heavens and the earth. Just think about that. What is Allah and what are you? What is the position of Allah and what is your position? To have shak? أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So one of the ways that you deal with shak is to renew within ourselves a sense of humility that who are we talking about? And what are we talking about? We're having shak in the kalam of Allah. We have the shak on the as-sadiq al-ameen and his qawl. Doesn't make any sense. So there's certain treatments. When a person falls into this, it's very sometimes difficult to treat. So there's certain things that a person can do. Number one, a person should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, there's particular du'as that a person can make. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. In my earlier days, this was such a beautiful du'a, such a powerful du'a. And perhaps from the power of this du'a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to my teachers. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me the truth as truth. وَرُزُقْنَا اِتِّبَاعًا and give me and provide me as provision the ability to follow it. وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا and show me the falsehood as something false. وَرُزُقْنَا اِجْتِنَابًا and give us the ability to stay away from that. Right? I mean, when you just think about this, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could hand us this type of hadiyah, that is enough for us to bring belief in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. So this is a person we should try to memorize this dua. Inshallah, when this is posted, people can go back and inshallah try to listen to it. The other dua that a person should make is ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رَبَّنَا, O my Lord, لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا, do not deviate our hearts. بَعْدَ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ مَا هَدَيْتَنَا, after you had guided us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ مَا هَدَيْتَنَا. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. جزاك الله. Didn't sound right. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. After you have guided us, وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, and then give from yourself rahmah. The deen is rahmah. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-islam wa kafa biha al-ni'mah. This is rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innaka antal wahhab. And you are the person who doesn't just give, but you are superfluous in your giving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, gives, gives. And the thing that we want most is yaqeen. The thing that we want most is iman. You know, there used to be a time, and sometimes a person, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, that a person becomes very, very sure on their own iman and very sure on their own yaqeen. And I remember myself being there. And I said, how can you think about any deen other than Islam? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just so clear. And even after walking so far in suluk, and after my teachers taking me so far, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear that no matter how far you go, you're just walking on the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remove that a little bit, then a person is plunged at the very kuntum ala shafa ala hufratin min an-nar. You're just on the edge. Person, and then I said, I just want to get out of life with iman. Because, no, and then it made sense, the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. Right? I mean, I never used to understand that when Ibrahim Khalilullah is making the dua, Rabbi jnubni wa baniya na'bud al-aslam, save me and my children from worshipping idols. He's the one who created the Kaaba. He is the destroyer of the idols. And he's saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me. Why would he make such a dua? His children are Ishaq alayhi salam. His children are Ismail alayhi salam. Because he understood that hidayah and iman is not something that emanates from within. It is something that is given from Wahhab. Allah gives. Allahu yu'ti man yasha. Right? And yamna'u mimman yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whom he wants. And he takes from whom he wants. And he prevents from whom he wants. This is the giving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, we begin with dua. Right? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتٍ وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. This is another dua that a person can make. The second thing that's a treatment for this is when a person falls into shak, one of the first things that you will see is that they will decrease in their amal. The counter to this is a person should increase in their amal. Right? A person who has too much an idle mind is a devil's workshop. In fact, it's better to sleep than to be idle. Because as soon as you create this element of idleness, then a lot of bad things happen. And this is one of them. So a person, you know, I remember when I was recently with Sheikh Zulfiqar overseas. Ooh, I got it. So one time I asked him this one question. It was probably burning in a lot of people's mind. I asked him, what is the difference between Noor? What is it? Noor, Tajalli, and Faiz. What is the difference between Faiz, Noor, and Tajalli? So he gave me an explanation, subhanAllah, very deep. I mean, like, there's no one, who is there in the world that you can go to ask these type of questions anyway? But then he says, Aksar tor jo loga ye aise sawal poochte hai, wo loga wo hote hai jo zikr nahi karte hai. So I just kept quiet. So he said, oftentimes the people who ask these type of questions are the people who don't do zikr. He's like, and the understanding is that if you're doing zikr, you already know the difference anyway, right? Between what a tajalli is and what nur is and what faiz is. And even if you don't, sometimes when you're concentrating on your amal, it doesn't matter. Like, why do you care what the tajalli is? What the, you're just advancing. Right, and you're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't leave any room for these type of questions to arise. In the very same way, when a person is engaged in dhikr and engaged in amal, it doesn't leave much room for these type of things to arise. The third thing, so there's actually about 8 advices. There's probably, we're not going to get time to go through all of them. I'm just going to do maybe 3 and 4. The third thing is that sometimes the treatment for this is ilm. And when a person doesn't have ilm, they should go to Ahlul Ilm. Right? Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Go to the people of dhikr and ask them if you don't know. So if there's something about the deen that doesn't make sense to you, right? Why is, you know, the witness of two women equal to that of one man? If there's, people have ajib shak. I don't know. People have shak. So if you don't understand something, then go and ask. فَإِن كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍ مِمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ. If you're in some type of shock in what that which we have revealed to you, فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making very clear that if you have some shock, general paradigm, مِمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ, from what was revealed to you, فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, then ask those people who have read the book before you. لَقَدْ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says from his side, لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. This is the haq. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. With taqeed, تَكُون, there's a nuna thaqeela. Don't be among those people who are doubting. Right? فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. So sometimes the way that you dispel this is you go to the Ahlul Ilm and you just ask them. So the person says that, oh, I heard the Hadith is not, the Quran was not written until 200 years after Rasulullah. How do we know if it's true? It's written in the time of Rasulullah, bhai. The whole thing was compiled. It was written, right, in form. If you go into deeper into the historiographic, a compilation of the Quran, you understand that it was all existed in written form in the time of Rasulullah, but people don't know that. So sometimes ilm becomes a shifa for this disease. The fourth thing I just wanted to mention quickly, because we need to spend some time for zikr as well, is understand, forget about all the treatments, just understand that this is a disease. If it comes in the nafs, it becomes a disease. لا يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. They don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah. وارتابت قلوبهم. And their heart is in وارتابت قلوبهم. It has ريب. It has doubt. وارتابت قلوبهم فهم في ريبهم يترددون. And in their ريب, they're going back and forth. This is the nature of doubt. When you're in doubt, your whole life you feel like a ping pong gun. The whole day from morning to night, you're half alive because you're being bounced from this side to that side to this side. And that's why it comes in Tafsir Ibn Kathir that the worst type of hayran is the hayran of how to live. When a person's trying to figure it out, you're just like, it's the word is a torture, it's a living torture for a person to be living in. بَلْهُمْ فِي شَكِّ يَلْعَبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, they're in shak yal'abun, they're playing. But my dear sisters and brothers, this is not a game. You're playing with your life. You're playing with your iman. It's like self-inflicted torture that a person is. So perhaps the most cogent argument to avoid doubt is that you're just torturing yourself. Right? You're just an irtidad. You're just jumping from, you're being مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَهَا أُولَى وَلَا إِلَهَا أُولَى. You're not here, you're not there. You're neither dead nor you're not alive. This is dangerous. And ultimately, right, ultimately, all of these shak and shukuk, we'll see, maybe if we have time next week, we'll talk some about some of the other, ways to deal with this. But ultimately, on one day, all of these shak and shukuk are going to be lifted. Right? Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah. Allah. La ilaha illahu. There is no ilah except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grab you all إلى يوم القيامة. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? لا ريب فيه. There's no doubt about it. ومن أصدق من الله حديثا. Who are you going to find who's more truthful than Allah? You believe BBC. You believe NPR. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have some type of doubt. الله أكبر كبيرا. ومن أصدق من الله حديثا. كون هي. Tell me, who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that day, all of these things will be dispelled. Then these arguments won't matter, the shak won't matter, nothing will matter. The only thing that will matter is that little bit of iman that we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to save their iman and gives them that type of yaqeen. So understand also, what is matlub? What is matlub? Is iman bil ghayb, right? We just did this in Qasasun al Nabiyyin today morning. That when you look at the story of Isa alayhi salam, the thing they asked, anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama, that descend upon us a ma'idah from the heavens. But that wasn't matlub. The thing that Allah wanted was Iman bil Ghaib. You believe without seeing. This every Nabi was sent with this message, to create within people an Iman bil Ghaib, without understanding, without knowing, just being true, pure belief. That's what the Sahaba brought. So much so that you had the likes of Ali radiallahu an, right? When someone asked him that you worship Allah, have you ever seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something? He said, would you think I would worship someone who I have not seen? Their yaqeen was as if they were seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Esa iman, that, you know, like I believe it was Abu Bakr radiallahu an, or Ali radiallahu an, he said that if the veils of the unseen were to be lifted, that would not increase me in iman. Would not increase me in iman. This is the type of yaqeen that we should have in our deen. This is the yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands from us. And if we're not in it, and we have some type of doubt within, if we're not there, that means that there is some element of doubt. And all of life is a process to eliminate this type of doubt, and know that in suluk there is one maqam that comes. Allahu Akbar Sabira. May Allahumma razuqna jami'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this side. Right, shaitan still can of course come and put these type of doubts. We already talked about that last week, because the Sahaba used to experience those type of doubts. But a point comes in tariqah, a point comes in suluk, where a person gets that these shak and shubuhat become dispelled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves a person from this. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to arrive at that type of maqam, and gives us that type of yaqeen, that type of iman that He awarded the Sahaba, and that He awarded our pious elders. And He allows us to leave this life with that type of iman. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ